With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Like everyone else, I had to quick adjust strategies and shift to more virtual programming. So I've done some virtual workshops with kids, reading sessions, talking about books, things of that nature. I found that to be very effective and potentially is more of a long-term solution. Even as we kind of slowly get out of, you know, the pandemic and return to some sense of normalcy, I think there are ways for us to really leverage technology and really meet youth where they are.
How you day? How you day? That was the voice of Erica Austin. And Erica, as you find out in the episode, is an author, speaker, and social influencer. But in today's episode, we talk about her journey to becoming those three things, as well as how she's inspiring the youth to reach their highest potential. That's her greatest passion. She has a unique program where she does this. So if you or anyone else is interested in helping with projects like this, that's why I have episodes like this. This is also building up on Coach D's episode last week, where we talked about different ways to connect kids with their passions, and about two episodes before that, or an episode before that. I'm not sure when this episode is going to run, but I introduce you to Learn Life, which is also another form of education. So a lot of this month has been focused on alternative forms of education and showing youth different ways to, to get back into the groove of things. And it's done strategically. We are in the month where people are getting back to school, depending on where you are in the world. So I just wanted to give you all different options. So check the links in the bio. Other than that, please say hi, leave reviews. It does help with the visibility. Enjoy the episode. Welcome everyone to another episode of As Told by Nomads, and today's guest is Erica Austin. Now, Erica is a powerhouse public speaker and author with a leading and recognized philosophy of building up our youth to harness their power and design fulfilling, healthy, and positive lives for themselves every day. Having published her first book at the age of 9, Erica has dedicated her life to youth development through empowerment and faith. Her award-winning book, What Every Child Should Know About Prayer from a Child's Point of View, was the beginning of a legacy to motivate and empower youth with practical self-empowering strategies through education, building a life, and leadership skills. Welcome to the show, Erica.
Thanks so much for having me. It's truly my honor. This is awesome.
Well, the pleasure is mine, but I got to start off with that 9-year-old self of yours. You published your first book at 9. What were you doing? How did you come up with an idea at that young of an age?
Yeah. Great question. I get it often. I was inspired by a film. I'm kind of dating myself. Some of you may recall, I'm sure you do, Teo, but there's this movie called Harriet the Spy. that came out years ago. And the gist of the movie is it was about a young girl who loved to spy on people and she would record her findings. I was more so interested in her passion for writing. So after the film, my father and I were driving home and I turned to him and I'm like, Dad, you know, I think I want to write a book. And he looked at me the way I'm sure most parents would look at their 9-year-old if their child suddenly proclaimed they wanted to write a book. And, you know, he said, well, Erica, what do you want to write about? I took a long pause and I said, you know, Dad, I think I would like to write a book for children about prayer. And the background behind that is, you know, I grew up in the church, having been raised with a very strong spiritual foundation. So at a very early age, you know, I was accustomed to going to church and praying and kind of knew those fundamentals. And essentially I wanted to share my faith with other young children in hopes of inspiring them to establish their own relationship with God and to embrace, you know, the practice of prayer. So my father was pretty excited about my idea. He took me to a local pharmacy to pick up, you know, just a tablet and a box of pencils, old school writing days, no fancy laptop or anything of that sort. Immediately went home and started working on, you know, the chapters for what would become What Every Child Should Know About Prayer. I'm jumping ahead, but I will just quickly say, Teo, you know, I published back in the mid-1990s. So this was an era where mainstream publishers were simply not accustomed to publishing books written by child authors. It just wasn't unheard of. You're seeing more stories about child authors now in modern day, but that was not the case when I got started. And so there were a lot of barriers to getting published and sharing my story, but you know, ended up getting published. It took a year of trying to find the right publisher, but finally found a publisher who believed in my story, believed in the vision, believed that it could be an inspiration to so many other youth. And that's how I got started.
Wow. Okay. And so once you got started there, it sounds like your dad played a big role in that, whether it was through mentorship and, you know, encouraging you. I'm curious to think from your perspective, what to hear from your perspective, what you thought your life would be like from then on. You know, you publish your first book, you get a publisher, and you're, you know, I imagine you're doing some publicity around that. Do you see yourself as an author when you're that young, or do you think, whoa, this is the beginning of a multifaceted career, and this is just going to be a platform for me to do more?
Yeah, another awesome question. I love it. When I came up with the vision to write What Every Child Should About Prayer, I was just inspired, but I wasn't thinking about the implications of my inspiration and what that would mean. And so, you know, my father, you know, he has the sales background. So essentially, he kind of served as my de facto agent, so to speak. And as he started, you know, publicizing the book and getting the word out there to churches and community-based organizations, word traveled through, you know, the city of Atlanta, which is where I grew up. And essentially, I became this child prodigy. And it was a lot because I was very, very busy. I was doing speaking engagements and book signings. And I kind of fell into public speaking. At a young age, I did not realize that, wow, I'm kind of creating a, I don't want to say a career, because my intentions have always been very genuine. But, you know, when you write a book, people oftentimes want to invite you to talk about it.
This is very true.
So I wasn't seeing all of that at 9, but, you know, there's going to be a lot to this, and just you wait. But, you know, I really just kind of, you know, owned my work. I've always been very passionate about youth empowerment. And just to this day, you know, I get letters from kids who are now my age or maybe even older saying, I remember you spoke at my church and, you know, you inspired me to share my story.
Well, let's talk about youth empowerment and the importance of education. How is it important today? Because I know we hear the cliche thing, you know, everybody, I think, intellectually believes education is important, but I get the sense that you have a different approach to the importance of education and how it can be applied.
Yeah, that's a great question. It's also a very complicated one because, you know, the reality is that so many communities don't have access to quality education. The educational system in the United States is very fragmented, right? Because it's oftentimes driven by local politics and just the affluence of a particular community and how taxpayer resources are allocated. I believe that it really does take a village of stakeholders like you and I and others who truly believe in this work to come together and provide our youth with, you know, the solutions to recognize their potential to achieve greatness. And so from a tactical perspective, my company, ECRA Growth and Educational Services, we do just that. So I recently launched a youth entrepreneurship academy that provides young people with the fundamentals to learn about, you know, becoming a business owner in their communities. I'm also an advocate for youth education. I was an AmeriCorps member, so I've worked in the most disenfranchised communities in our nation's capital, a place where there's so much wealth and prestige, where laws are being made, but there's still high degrees of poverty and low quality educational systems. And I want to be a person that helps to bridge that gap.
Oh, I love that. And with your company, you know, I know that literacy is a big part of what you're doing, right? And leadership skills. So why does literacy matter and how should we be doing better about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we need to help change the narrative about literacy to get our young people invested in reading more. It sounds another cliche statement, but it couldn't be farther from the truth. It's so important. And I think there are ways that we can do that. I think there are, you know, social media campaigns that could be employed. I was once talking to someone who's pretty well regarded in the community as an influencer about launching a national literacy campaign that is youth oriented and thinking through how do we create messages that resonate with a younger audience. That's really, really important. You know, partnering with, you know, the indie bookstores, you know, because they do a lot with, you know, community-based organizations where we can get youth engaged in this work, you know, through readings. And, you know, I think we're heading in the right direction because there are so many influencers that have recently published books. So, and they have a built-in audience of young people who follow them. And so this is how we make reading cool and get more youth invested in this work.
Okay. And with the pandemic happening, I know we're thankfully, hopefully on the, you know, facing the end of it, but how has the pandemic affected your business? Were you able to, you know, provide literacy tools to many who needed it and empower the youth and, you know, virtually?
Absolutely. So like everyone else, I had to quickly adjust strategies and shift to more virtual programming. So I've done some virtual workshops with kids, reading sessions, talking about books, things of that nature. I found that to be very effective and potentially is more of a long-term solution. Even as we kind of slowly get out of, you know, the pandemic and return to some sense of normalcy, I think there are ways for us to really leverage technology and really meet youth where they are. And oftentimes it's digital.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Just wanted to stop by here before we get back to the episode. I wanted to let you all know that I do have a collective for people who are interested in developing their cultural competency skills, becoming more anti-racist. And it's a resource of things that you can do with your family, with your school, with yourself to work through your individual journey to become a better culturally competent leader. It's called UID Collective, and the link is in the show notes, but it's a mix of courses, it's a mix of resources, things you can download, and all you need to do is sign up as a member. It's a monthly membership. I'd love for you to check it out, use it with your friends, use it with your family, use it with yourself, okay? The link is in the show notes. It's called UID Collective, and it's for those of you that want to improve your cultural competency skills. Back to the episode.
But you know, the interesting, I live in New York, so there were some interesting equity conversations that came into play, like the access to Wi-Fi, access to education, you know, via computer. And then, you know, the other responsibilities that a lot of kids have, depending on where they, they are and where they live, right? So socioeconomic backgrounds come to play here. That, the reason I'm bringing that up is because of the stereotype that exists that, you know, people in certain socioeconomic backgrounds won't be able to read at a certain level. Is there a way to bridge and, you know, bridge these divides and provide access to resources as we become more digital, you know, so we don't forget and widen the gap between kids at such a young age?
Yeah, that's a great question as well. I think that the short answer is that we have to have tailored solutions. You know, even in the digital age, there's still many, many communities that don't have access to technology to tune into these Zoom conversations. It's a little presumptuous for anyone in this work to assume that that's the case. And so we have to meet people where they are. Sometimes it literally means once it's, you know, safe and appropriate to do so, getting back to these in-person conversations. When I worked as an AmeriCorps member for over 2 years, actually, I worked in some of the most impoverished crime-ridden communities. It was a situation where children were well below their academic standard, reading well below grade level, like grades below. And so we offered a after-school academic enrichment program, which I, you know, led over a series of months. That has been very effective because when you realize that, you know, we're invested in their success, it also encourages them to help themselves, right? And become more invested in their own education and welfare. So that's really my approach with respect to youth development.
No, I love that. But I guess who's the person to work with on? Is it the superintendents? Is it the principals? Who are the people to work on? Because I don't know.
Sure. I mean, it's really an ecosystem. But, you know, I will say that if you want to get involved, you know, AmeriCorps is a national community service organization. They already have inroads to the local school systems and the other nonprofits that are working in this space. And so we don't necessarily have to replicate the wheel, so to speak. We can leverage, you know, the inroads we already have access to. So when I was an AmeriCorps program member, they already had partnerships with the school systems. They already were funded to do this work, and they essentially attracted college students to serve as academic enrichment coordinators. Or tutors.
Okay.
So it's about getting involved. Yeah.
It's not getting it wrong. You're saying don't duplicate or replicate something that might be already in existence. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I think these frameworks are already in place. I mean, of course, there's, you know, if you find that you want to start your own nonprofit to do this work, you know, because there's some unmet community level need, I encourage that. I think that's wonderful. But what you'll find when you're truly invested in this work is that there's already an ecosystem of folks that are really invested in youth empowerment, youth development. They have the sophisticated tools, the systems, the frameworks in place, and they're just looking for people to get involved as supporters because this is a collective movement.
Yeah.
It's beyond just one person. Yeah.
And then another way people can, you know, collectively work together is through your ECRA Youth Entrepreneurship Academy. You touched on it lightly before, but it, from what I'm looking at on your website, it's a 4-week educational program that takes students in grade 6 through grade 12. So it's 6 to 12. That's middle school and high school, I'm guessing, right? That's it. Yeah. Why that age? What do you find about that age?
Sure. I think it's a prime age when youth are really thinking about, well, number one, they have the maturity to start thinking about, you know, their life beyond just being a kid and what that means. I think there are a lot of great messages about, you know, the value of entrepreneurship, the value of leveraging your gifts and your talents and putting it into the world in the form of a service. I think that message resonates very clearly with this identified audience. And so I really like to capture youth during their formative years where they're exploring and they're thinking about the possibilities. That's when you strike.
It's a big part
on the
of
youth development front.
Yeah, the formative years and that transition to adulthood. I mean, if you take it all the way there, you know, it sounds like your program is giving them not only frameworks, but you're helping to cultivate the ideas as they discover who they are.
That's exactly what we're doing. I couldn't have said it better. Yeah.
Now, I saw that you said the entrepreneurship mindset in our young people. So when I'm looking at this, you're it's 4 weeks. Is it during, you know, talk more about it. What is in the program? How can people listening get involved? I know it's based in the United States for now, but what are the ways that people can get involved and when is the prime time or is it year round?
Excellent question. So the ECRA Youth Entrepreneurship Academy, as you mentioned, is a 4-week immersive program for students in grades 6 through 12. We have a cadre of seasoned, highly experienced business leaders and entrepreneurs who already own thriving businesses, and they're looking for ways to pay it forward to our young people. Because of the pandemic, we've naturally shifted to a virtual platform, which means we can engage, you know, beyond just, you know, our domestic boundaries, and we'll certainly work through those logistics. But I'm really excited about this effort because the curriculum is based on a gradual approach to immersing students in the framework of being an entrepreneur. So we start with topics such as how to create a business plan. Once you do that, how do you start looking for funding? What are the different types of business structures, LLC versus, you know, nonprofit or sole proprietorship? If you have a business where there are products involved, you know, how do you exhibit your business, right? And certain convenings. How do you pitch your business? You know, if someone says, hey, I got 2 seconds or 2 minutes rather, tell me what your business is all about. What's that elevator speech look like for you? And how do you build a business model that is sustainable? Because so many, as you know, small businesses fail within their first year. So we want to avoid those pitfalls.
I mean, this is so important for many kids. I know myself as a young person during my formative years, I was always curious about outlets and where I could find pieces of information. But I felt like the institutions I was in only gave me maybe one or two, maybe three ideas of who I could be, lawyer, doctor, engineer. And so it was always limiting for me. So it's very cool to see that this exists. And I'm glad that people are getting access to this at such a young age.
Thank you. We're looking for, you know, instructors who want to be a part of this movement. This is a movement. We're always looking for youth who want to sign up. We want parents involved, guardians, community-based organizations. Let's invest in our young people.
Okay. Okay. Now, where can people find out more about this?
Absolutely. It's pretty simple. www.ericaaustin.com. Okay. There is a landing page that talks all about the ECRA Youth Entrepreneurship Academy and how to get involved, which includes a pretty straightforward registration page. So hope to get more people invested in this work.
No problem. Well, it sounds like you have sessions, right? Based on seasons. I'm seeing a spring session here. So I'm guessing a fall session is the next one coming up, or do you do summer, or what?
Yeah, sure. So we are looking to pilot this in late August.
Okay.
We've had to do some shifts, you know, due to some instructor issues, but we are wanting to get more folks signed up, invested, and we're looking for the formal rollout to happen late August.
Okay.
So more details on that coming soon. Yeah.
All right. So just basically follow through on the website. And then yes. You know, you stay up to date. All right. Well, I have a final question that I always ask my guests. And my guest, and the question is this: how do you, Erica, use your difference to make a difference?
How do I use my difference to make a difference? Yeah.
Yeah, that's my mission statement.
I mean, for me, it's, you know, this has been my life's work. I believe when you're genuinely passionate about something, you know, the energy, the ingenuity, it really comes naturally. I believe, though, I build my difference by just keeping on keeping on. I talk to youth, I ground truth my thinking with, you know, my primary audience, which is youth, because I believe in, you know, the importance of youth voice, tailoring our solutions from the perspective of young people, right? Their needs, their interest areas, their concerns. That's what this work is all about. So I don't necessarily want to be known. I don't want to be known for being important. I want to be known for doing important work.
That's a good distinction.
Right. So going outside of myself and realizing this is so much bigger than me at the individual level. This is a movement, because these societal issues and concerns are so complex. They require so many resources. So how do we do this work together more effectively? That's what I'm all about.
You use your difference to make a difference by keeping on keeping on. And you want the work that you're doing to matter. And that's a very good place to be. So thank you very much. I'll make sure I put every single one of these in the show notes, because these are certainly important things that we all need to be aware of. And I'll let you know when it comes up. But I want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for having me. It's been a true pleasure.
The pleasure is mine, and kings, queens, and royalty. Until next time, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.